Welcome back, everyone, to this 23rd episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm looking at my costumes in Guild Wars.
Yeah, the new costumes, the new Halloween costumes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight, but yes. My Ellie is so pretty.
We actually have quite a bit to talk about. A lot of little things. Nothing, you know, no Mesmer reveal yet. I mean, I have to keep on keeping on.
They're teasing you, man.
I know. I mean, they probably figure I'll stop doing the show if they let their Mesmer out of the bag, so... You know,
because
be
your
done.
Life, the pinnacle of your life will have been reached.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll just, I mean, I won't be able to talk anymore. I won't be able to do anything anymore. So,
what's even the point?
I know. So, they're dragging me along. I know it. Right. but we have some email to read. We have some little stories to read. And we have some drama. Yes.
Oh, my gosh, drama. Yeah. Everybody loves some drama.
Every week we have drama, I think. But this is some good stuff. so let's just go ahead and start with this first little bit here. This is going back to earlier in the week. They released a blog post on the ArenaNet blog talking about something that we pretty much figured they were going to do anyway, which is the seven hero parties.
Yeah.
They had a survey a couple weeks ago, asking how would you feel about a full party of heroes, and we talked about that on this show, and I think overwhelmingly people felt that would be a good idea. So they have now they're introducing it now. Is that when is that going to be introduced? Did it already come out?
No, we don't know. It's just okay. It's soon.
TM
when it's ready.
Yeah, but so the seven hero parties, of course, were popular. So they're doing this. But also, in that same blog post, they're talking about a new outpost, right?
Yeah, Embark Beach, which at first, and I actually said this when we recorded Massively Speaking on Tuesday, I honestly did not get it at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, this is stupid. If I want to do a mission, I'm just going to go to the mission outpost and do it. And then a couple people were like, no, you don't understand. If you just want to play with, if you just want to play and aren't sure what you want to do, you can go to Embark Beach and see what everybody's got in the party window. You know, here's, you know, I'm looking for a group for this, 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 and this. And you can say, oh, well, that thing sounds like fun. So It's like just a huge central point to do anything in the game, which, you know, after I had it explained to me, I love the concept.
Yeah, because originally they said they called it a Zacian outpost, you know, and it's like, well, we kind of have those, you know, we kind of have that already. And why would they make this like that again? But it does make sense to be more of a hub, I guess.
Yeah, that's actually the word I was looking for, was hub. And I think it's just going to open things up so much more for grouping. And it's a nice foil, I think, for the seven hero parties, because you've got people that just, they really don't want to group. They want to load up on heroes and henchmen at this point and move on with their lives. But then on the other hand, you have people who would like to group more. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's a little something for both halves here, which I love.
And I think that no matter how much, you know, you could sit here and say that having a full group of AI characters is not, conducive to what an MMO should be. Well, I mean, that's true and all, but ArenaNet pretty much kind of invented that. You know, they kind of invented, there are people. Not everybody plays an MMO because they want to play with other people. Some people play MMOs because they want to achieve things and then kind of show them off to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I'm kind of in that boat. And I like the idea of having heroes. Like, I know we've talked about this before, but I liken it to something like Dragon Age, where you can, you know, set them up the way you want and control them the way you want, and then you still have other people around you so that it's not such a lonely world, and also you can kind of show off, you know, your titles and things
right.
like that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can see that. I mean, I'm not against that at all.
No, and I'm actually on board with the idea. I was not at first, just because it didn't fit my play style, but, you know, we talked about this, I think, way back when the whole shadow form debate was going on. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to tell me how to play, and I probably shouldn't be telling anybody else how to play.
Yeah.
So, hey, you and your seven heroes, more power to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you need me, I'll be over here, LFG.
Okay, so I guess that pretty much covers that. You know, nothing huge about that. It's just kind of cool that they're, you know, it's coming, and it's something that they listen to the you know, the player base and they're implementing. So
it's very exciting. I can't. I am really looking forward to a date soon. I want to know when.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see it.
Yeah. Okay. So this next little bit of news here. This is about, like we just talked about, the costumes. The Halloween stuff is in, and the costumes are in, and this is something they announced officially today, right?
Yes, there was a little mistake yesterday. The costumer, actually there's a costume maker in Lion's Arch. Her name is Kristen, and she's named after Kristen Perry, who is an ArenaNet designer. And actually, I didn't realize this today, she designed the Duena's Regalia, which is absolutely one of my favorite costumes.
I think she designed most of the armor, even back...
She did, but as far as the costumes go, she did that one.
Yeah.
And that's actually... Remember the green outfit I showed you on my Mesmer the other day?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. That's my Mesmer, wears that all the time. It's my favorite, so I was all excited to see her. But anyway, so you went up to Kristen in Lion's Arch yesterday, and she offered you these two costume sets that nobody had heard of before and were not in the store. So she accidentally spilled the beans a tiny bit early.
Just a little excited, you know.
Yeah, she had a point. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, they are actually really cool. One of them is kind of a, it looks like a dark, like a demonic angel kind of a thing. With this.
See, I was thinking like goat succubus.
Yeah, or goat succubus, exactly. But the other one is kind of like a flaming pumpkin head, which is really cool, too.
Yeah, there are... this is actually a really good deal. You can buy the whole thing for $9.99, and you get three costume sets and three helms, which is a really sweet deal. There's the Lich's outfit. Now I forget what it's called. I have to, like, go into... I'm having to, like, take a look and see...
You could just check your credit card receipt, right?
Yeah. There's the Raiment of the Lich, which is the... I actually like your demonic angel comment. I'm just looking at her. She's got these thigh-high stiletto-heeled boots. Something that is like lingerie from hell with some little pieces trailing off the back of it, and these big, dark, feathered wings. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, I'm absolutely crazy about it. And then the Lunatic Court ensemble, I'm forgetting the actual name of it, but the Lunatic Court outfit, there are two versions of that, and it's like an old-fashioned, it's almost got like an old-fashioned ball gown look to it. It's got a bustle on the back. And one version of it is just, you know, the costume, and then the other version makes you headless.
Oh, cool.
Which is absolutely awesome.
That's cool. Headless Horseman. So cool, yeah. I'm always excited about Halloween. You know, that was my first, I think it was actually the first, holiday event in Guild Wars. And that first one was so incredible, and I remember that. And I think I still have the masks from that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do.
I'm so jealous of you having those.
And actually, it's funny, we used to give those away at Guildcast events because, of course, they're customized for, I would get them from my Mesmer because it said, customized for Guildcast, and I would give them out to people, and that was always fun. So yeah, I'm really excited about this, taking part in the Halloween stuff again this year.
Yeah.
For a couple of years there, they seem to kind of recycle both Winter's Day and Halloween. But this year they've been doing not only these costumes and everything, but what else are they doing different?
Well, last year we got the Waiting Game, which was like this enormous overhaul of the entire Underworld. Mm-hmm. And the Underworld changed forever. It's stinking thing is really hard now. But because at the end, after you complete all the Underworld quests, Doom spawns, and you have to go beat Doom, which is extremely cool. We actually asked ArenaNet, I sent several questions to New York Comic Con with one of our Massively reporters, and I asked if we were going to see anything new at Halloween. And I think it was it Ryan that went? I think it was Ryan.
Yep.
He said they wouldn't say any words, they just grinned maniacally. So I don't know what's coming. They won't tell us anything.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping these costumes weren't the only thing.
Yeah. Oh,
I'd like to see more. new Mad King jokes. We do know that he's going to have some new jokes.
Are they using any Guildcast listener jokes?
Okay, didn't you just hear me say they wouldn't tell me anything?
Darn. Wait, don't you work for ArenaNet, though?
If I worked for ArenaNet, I would know things. I know nothing. Actually, you know what, though, while I have it on my mind, the costumes are only for sale until November 21st.
Oh, okay.
They're gone after that. Halloween stuff is going on now. Trick-or-treat bags are dropping. The collectors are there. Mm-hmm. The towns are decorated. And that's going on until November 2nd.
Okay.
So all of this stuff is limited time. All of the goodies are dropping. You can trade in stuff to the collectors. The Mad King has not showed up yet, but we're all very excited.
Yes. Oh, I have to. Every year, I just have to be there for those jokes.
You know what? My favorite is the Paragon joke. Have you heard that one?
Wait. Oh, which one is that? What's, I remember it, but I don't remember the
punchline. How are like a Paragon and a drunkard the same? They both run around shouting with no pants on.
Oh, that's right.
It's so cheesy, and it is my favorite.
That's hilarious. Yeah,
I
forgot all about that.
I love it. So I don't know, but I'm kind of hoping for something new. And there have been these weird updates for the past couple of days where we have to, you know, you get the new build message. We have to close the game, log back in, and even like to log into the guild hall, I have to download like 200 files.
Wow.
And that's happened like 3 times.
Well, usually the way they do it, I think, is they kind of release chunks at a time so that, you know, you're not hit with one giant one.
Yeah, and I think that may be what happened, but it keeps going on, and there's this like whole buzz through the Alliance. We're going, what was that? How many files did you have to download to load into Commodon? And I downloaded into the Guild Hall, and, you know, I had to patch there. And so we're watching like every update like a hawk just to see what's going on.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So
I'm
that's
excited.
The Halloween stuff.
Yeah, and you know, the next few weeks we'll be able to talk about it, and after it's done. Now, what's funny is I can't remember. Was it Halloween? No, it must have been Winter's Day. The first Winter's Day, I recorded, like, live.
No way!
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that, but yeah, I recorded it during the thing, and I had the sound in the background and everything, and I'm talking about, like, what I'm seeing and what's going on, because it just came up, and it was the very first Winter's Day. So I actually recorded that, and I think it's funny. I didn't do it for the Halloween event, though, because I don't think Guildcast... No, I think Guildcast started in November. So, well, we're coming up on the 5-year anniversary here. It's pretty crazy.
Is it November 19th?
Yep. Yep. That's also Lady Sinead's birthday.
And my kid's birthday. You planned that nicely.
I did. I know. It's just... It's this big synergy thing. It's awesome. Yeah, so I'm really excited about all that. And, you know, we'll be able to talk about the jokes and everything and you know, what happened on the Halloween night itself, you know, when the Mad King comes. So it'll be a good time. And we still have a couple weeks to talk about it. So.
And we can talk about the ritual chanting in Lion's Arch of how do I get a hat? And people answer Alt-F4. And the people reply, how do I get a hat?
Yeah, yeah. Good times. Oh, cool. Well, let's move on to some other news because we have quite a bit here. A couple little mentions I wanted to do. They have some new Guild Wars 2 wall graphics from LTL Prints. Now, ArenaNet actually, they sent me some of these, some versions of it, and it's, you know, they do this because they want, you know, they want us to look at it and be able to see, you know, what... kind of high quality is, so we know what we're talking about, you know, when we for giveaways and things like that, which we're trying to set up for Massively. But these are silk screened, you know, they're on you know, very durable, kind of a, I don't know what you would call it, it's almost like a canvasy, almost like a, I don't know, I guess canvasy would be the best way to say it, but it's very high quality stuff, and they're selling these now in the in their store. They say that most of it is concept art. Actually, all of it is concept art.
Oh, man.
And it's some pretty amazing stuff. So definitely check that out. They have a little thing about it on the arena.net/blog, on the ArenaNet blog. A little insert about that. And then there was also Pink Day, which happened in Lion's Arch. When was that? That was a couple days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, Pink Day in L.A. was actually last weekend, so it's been almost a week, but it turned out to be an enormous event.
Yeah.
The coordinators were hoping to raise $1,337 through this event. They raised that well before the event even started.
Yeah, and they ended up getting almost $11,000, $10,916 at the time they wrote this, which was the 20th, which is a few days ago. So, of course, pink is it represents breast cancer. You know, it's, it represents the research for breast cancer and the fight against breast cancer. And this was kind of a way to do an in-game event to raise money for breast cancer research. And this was thrown by this organization called Gaming World Entertainment Network, which, of course, is Gwen. Malibu Barbie, which is the character name, who now she's thrown together these things before, right? I know I've seen her name quite a bit.
Yeah, this is actually the third year for Pink Day in L.A.
Yeah. So it was, and this is the most they ever raised, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because they said that, it's funny, their original goal was, you know, 1,337, which, of course, is elite. That was their original goal. But they met it early, like you said, and then they got up to almost $11,000. So this is just incredible. I mean, it's something I wanted to mention because it really shows kind of the, you know, the commitment and what people can do when they get together in the Guild Wars community. But Guild Wars, you know, reading that kind of took this a step further, and they offered pink dye from an NPC, right?
Yeah, this was so cool. There's actually a pink dye vendor up on the hill in Lion's Arch all of October. She's still there. And you can get pink dye for 100 gold a vial.
Cool.
And pretty much everybody I know has stocked up. It's not tradable. You can't, like, buy 100 and pass them out to people.
Oh, okay.
Because it's account bound.
Oh, okay.
But they sold, as of October 20th, they had sold 292,904 vials of pink dye.
Wow.
So, and it's actually, for a while there, everybody was going straight pink, and, I mean, one girl in my guild put it on her monk fissure, well, she said, I look like a pack of Mentos. But it, and the straight pink I'm not incredibly fond of, it mixes with stuff beautifully.
I bet it mixes with silver nicely.
You know, I haven't tried that, but actually on one of my Halloween costumes, I did blue, purple, purple, pink. Oh. And it turned out this really cool deep purple that shaded into a lighter color. So it mixes beautifully. If you haven't bought any, I'm just it's so cheap, too. I mean, you can get 50 vials for $5,000.
Yeah. I made pink out of, you know, red and silver and white on my monk. And she has Luxon 15K, and I made it. This was years ago, but I wonder what the comparison would be if I were to dye something the straight pink versus the kind of mix. But I love mixing anyway, so I probably wouldn't want to ruin it.
I don't know. This was pretty cool. The straight pink just mixes with so many colors really well.
Cool.
I was really really impressed with how they did it.
Very awesome.
You know what, though? I do want to back up and say one thing about Pink Day in L.A. This was so cool. And just to illustrate how much of the community turned out, I actually attended the event and kind of helped. I hopped districts and told and was kind of helping out the Guild Wars 2 Guru group by just hopping districts and giving the location where you could donate and all that. At one point, there were 39 international districts of Lion's Arch.
Wow.
You could not get into a single-digit district. They were all full.
That's
international.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
It was insanely, insanely crowded.
It's like back in the days when Gail Gray would show up. Maybe not quite.
And you can't get anywhere.
Yeah. Well, cool. Now, this last little bit of news here I wanted to talk about before we get into emails. This is the drama we were talking about. Now, PC Gamer... of course, we all know and love PC Gamer. They have a magazine, they have their website, and they've been around for many, many years. Actually, their editor-in-chief now is Logan Decker, who is a great guy. He's one of my favorite. He's always been one of my favorite writers on there, and I was very glad to hear when he was promoted up to you know, editor-in-chief. And before that, it was Kristen Salvatore, who I actually interviewed. She was one of my first ever kind of game industry, I guess, quote-unquote, interviews back when I in Guildcast, and probably it's probably 2007 because I think I interviewed her after the PC Gamer magazine came out that talked about Guild Wars 2, you know, kind of announced Guild Wars 2. So, and so I, because she went to Seattle and she visited, you know, the studios and everything, so I interviewed her right after that. So, anyway, getting back, PC Gamer, they get a lot of exclusives from ArenaNet, and I'm not sure, I think it's probably because they're, you know, a big magazine, and they, you know, it's kind of a traditional media kind of a thing, but, I guess it would be, you know, I'm going to be kind here and say PC Gamer's changed a lot in the last few years. You know, they're not run by, aside from Logan, who I love, a lot of the staff are interns. Now, this isn't, you know, explaining anything away, but they did make kind of a big mistake, and it caused quite a stir in the Guild Wars community. So what happened was Eric Flanham was interviewed by them, and they had all these exclusives, you know, all week long. And in one of these interviews, Eric was quoted, and he talks about there was a specific question that was asked to him. They said, would it be likely that they would release dungeons in Guild Wars 2 in the form of microtransactions? And Flanham answered, and I quote, "Yeah, we're going to look at what the demand is, look at what players want more of, and we're going to have to release that stuff, because that's the stuff that players are going to be willing to pay for, and that's the stuff that's going to make our company profitable." So people took that right there and said, whoa, are they saying that they're going to charge for dungeons in Guild Wars 2? Like, so it's going to be, you know, it's going to be microtransaction, which, I mean, it kind of, we kind of know it is anyway, you know, with costumes and storage and stuff like that. But to pay for content, like actual game content, that's when people are like, whoa, you have to be kidding me. Like, ArenaNet said they wouldn't do this, and now they're saying that they're going to do this? So, you know, the forums are nuts. Now, the thing here is, that's not what Eric meant at all. You know, he didn't mean that that's what what he meant was, we're open to anything. You know, we're open to, if that's what people want, we'll do that. But he used that as an example, and that was probably the bad part, was, you know, using that exact thing as an example. I mean, you really have to be careful when it comes to discussing anything at all with microtransactions or business model when a game hasn't launched yet. And, I mean, I'm sure he knows that. I'm sure everybody knows that. But, you know, the thing here was that PC Gamer, whoever wrote this up, really kind of picked at that and said, you know, they kind of released it as an exclusive where they said, you know, breaking news, Guild Wars 2 is going to have microtransaction dungeons. And, you know, and ArenaNet was like, whoa, we didn't say that. You know, we...
Back up there.
Yeah. So they were doing a lot of cleanup. You know, they were... Regina and Martin were going through all the forums, and Martin had to, you know, do it on the German side, too, you know, and kind of translate all this that was coming through ArenaNet and just kind
sure,
of say,
that was fun.
Yeah, and just kind of say, you know, that's not what we said at all. You know, we didn't mean it like that. And Eric, you know, released a statement about that and said, I didn't mean it like that. I meant we're just kind of open to whatever, you know. But I can kind of see why people would go nuts about it. But I think people were getting a little too nuts. You know, they were saying ArenaNet lied to us and they're all a bunch of liars. And it's just, I don't know, it was pretty crazy.
It was, but I think a lot of that was vocal minority. And, you know, we've talked about that before. You've got the loudest ones do not usually represent the whole of the community.
Yeah.
Now, there was still a big stir, but I think the people accusing ArenaNet of some kind of horrible treachery were definitely in the minority, but a lot of people were going, you know, just if this is true, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course the big issue was, like I said, it was paying for direct content, you know, that they said that they wouldn't do. Now, what I found interesting is OneUp, you know, another publication, they released an article, I think it was today. Yeah, it was today. And they essentially said that Eric Flanham, they took a different approach. You know, a lot of people, like, we reported, hey, you know, PC Gamer said this, ArenaNet said that's not true. And that's, right. You know, those are the facts right there. Well, 1UP took a different approach and they said Eric Flanham went back on his word, you know, which I thought was, I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, I feel bad for anyone who has to kind of go back and, you know, and clean this stuff up, like the Martin and Regina, I guess, basically, and anyone else at ArenaNet. But so I just thought it was peculiar that this whole 1UP article, and we can link this in the show notes, of course. Mm-hmm. The whole 1UP article is basically saying, here it is. It says, something that lead game designer Eric Flanham acknowledged was a possibility in an interview with PC Gamer. Of course, he's talking about the dungeon thing. Before later somewhat backing off on the particulars of what was extrapolated from the interview. And then it goes on, and it's basically saying, this is what he said, but he backed out of it. Well, I guess you could look at it that way. You could look at it as being as backing away, but it was more of saying it was just misinterpreted. You know, it's not like he said, yes, you're going to pay for dungeons, and then he said, wait, no, I mean, never mind. He didn't say that. He said, no, that's not what I meant.
I said, you're going to pray for dungeons. You just really want them.
So, I don't know. I just read that right there, and we're journalists, we're game journalists, and we have to really kind of, you have to do your research, you have to really...
jump to conclusions.
Yeah, not jump to conclusions. When you do a news article, you really have to kind of stay objective, and you have to see both sides of the story and kind of report on it as these are the facts, and not say stuff like, this guy, went back on his word. I don't know. I just think that it was kind of peculiar the way they approached that. Now, the PC Gamer thing, like I said, I'm not really ripping on them by saying that they have interns, because the interns aren't running the show. And I know how this stuff can, the people, I don't know, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but it's really hard to kind of police every single little detail of things. And if that's what the PC Gamer author thought that he said, of course he's going to run with that because that would be a huge story. And they're being told that they're being given all these exclusives. I'm sure he looks at that and says, oh, well, there's one of the exclusives right there. So it's not, it's kind of, it's just a bunch of misunderstandings. I mean, we've made mistakes. I've made mistakes plenty of times. I've made mistakes where, PR people or developers have to contact me and say, why didn't you ask me first? Like, this is not true at all. Like, why didn't you say something? I've actually had that happen pretty early on when I took over, and it was pretty crazy for me. I won't name who it was because, I mean, they were really nice about it, but it was really embarrassing. It's just one of those things that happens, and I guess being in print, it makes it a lot worse because you can't throw a line through it. You can't strike it out and say, we were just contacted by ArenaNet and they said it was actually this. You can't really do that in print. So I guess it matters a lot more in print, and that's the big thing. You can go out and buy the magazine and it's still staring you in the face. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Big thing.
You're being kind. I'm being silent.
Well, go ahead. Let me know. let it
you
out.
Honestly, and I just feel like I'm going, well, we would never do that. But
yeah.
If you are so incredibly lucky that one of the biggest games of next year is shoveling all of this content at you and giving you 5 days worth, this was huge. I would kill for something like that.
Yeah.
You don't turn it over an intern and hope for the best. I mean, you get somebody that knows the game, mm-hmm. and you fact check, and you go over it a few times. Because, as much as they were trumpeting in it, mm-hmm. and going on and on, we have got 5 days worth of stuff, and we've got this coming tomorrow, and this, and this, and this.
Yeah.
And then, I was reading through and found just the most basic factual and conceptual errors, not to mention the humongous thing about the dungeon downloadable content.
Yeah.
So it just, that was all week. I'm trying to think what I saw. They said something about char, and in parentheses they said beast men.
Yeah.
And if you are that lucky to get that kind of content fed to you from a developer of such a huge game, you do it justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
okay,
I'm not.
And now I'm shutting up.
No, I do agree with you. I'm definitely not making excuses for PC Gamer. Mm-hmm. I just feel that I kind of feel bad for PC Gamer just because of the fact that I know everybody makes mistakes and these things happen. But yes, you're absolutely right. You know, you don't call Char Beastmen, you know, if you're getting these exclusives like this. I mean, I know, you know, I've been doing this for many years, and I know how, you know, how this works out, and I know that it's kind of like, hey, you guys want an exclusive, here you go, here's the information, and then then you just run with it. I mean, yes, I don't want to sound bitter and say, like, yes, Massively would have handled it so much better, because that's not really fair. You know, PC Gamer gets tons and tons and tons of traffic. You know, they're still a giant, you know, entity, you know, with the magazines and the websites and the, you know, all the other things that they do, and it's just such a traditional media. Someone at ArenaNet, someone at NCSoft, I think probably most likely, is kind of old school, I'm sure, and looks at magazine, you know, print media, and says, we have to get this, we have to give PC Gamer the exclusive, because they are a gaming mag, they're the biggest gaming magazine in the US, in the Western world, and then, you know, but we're so far beyond that now, you know what I mean? We're so far beyond print media comes out a month after the news hits. Yes, I completely see what you're talking about. Yes, I mean, yeah, I agree with you on that. But is this going to change the mind of ArenaNet or NCSoft to kind of finally go with people who actually know the game and play the game? Who knows? I don't think so. I don't think that that's high on the priority list for anyone in marketing. But is it? I'm sure that there are a lot of people, you know, the people who put their hearts and souls into this game, who are just like slap their forehead against the wall repeatedly when they read stuff like this. You know, Beast.
When I read King Adelman, yes, I did.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the downside of that much traffic. I mean, yeah, PC Gamer is huge.
Yeah.
And they just told millions of people the wrong information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the downside of that if you can't spend 5 minutes doing your homework.
I agree. I have no argument against that at all.
Yeah. But I guess I can see from an old school marketing perspective, I can absolutely see it. But in this case, you wound up with this gigantic mess about the downloadable content for Dungeons.
Yeah. I think my approach is, you know, we're in the same business as PC Gamer, and I hate to make it sound like a competitive jab, you know, from me, which it's certainly not. You know, I respect them. I just think that the magazine part, at least, not mentioning the website or anything like that, I think the magazine part, it's kind of going away, you know what I mean? And it's just something that it's not really viable anymore. You can't report on news in such an organic environment as an MMO in a magazine that comes out once a month.
You know, stuff moves too fast.
Yeah, you just can't do that. And it's not saying anything bad about any of the PC Gamer crew, you know, even if there are, you know, interns there, I'm not saying anything bad about them or, you know, anything like that, but it's just the way things are progressing.
It is, and I should maybe not be so harsh.
No, I think it's fair. I don't think I'm being harsh.
I think something this huge, you need to do it justice. And honestly, on an upside, I really hope that PC Gamer took something away from this.
Yeah.
And said, okay, you know what? We just got fed something really awesome, and we kind of botched it. So how can we prevent this from happening next time?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I don't want to sound bitter, but they're going to still get the exclusives. You know, they're still going to get that. It doesn't really matter.
Is where I go silent again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got the traffic. This is... we could go on about this all day. Don't even get me started on Kotaku. I said the K word.
Can we talk about the girl in the bikini on the beach ball?
No. No, because then you'll hear some rants from me that no one out there ever wants to hear. Anyway,
this is what happens when we record at 10:30 at night.
Yeah, that's true. Usually we're recording at like 10:30 in the morning.
And we've still got all of our faculties, but we're just having a loose tonight.
We have an entire day of like frustrations, just like ready to let loose. But yeah.
Okay, so we've got, what else have we got? That was like our big thing at the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was that was it. But we have email. We have a lot of email to read. Eight of them, actually. A lot of these are pretty quick. We can kind of run through them. But this first one is from me. Not me, literally, but it's from a person. It says, sincerely, me.
It's like, are you emailing yourself again?
No. Says, hey, Ruby and Sean, / Sean and Ruby. I've been playing Guild Wars off and on for 2.5 years. I just began listening to Guildcast this past week, and I've really enjoyed all the delightful opinions you both have to share. Well, I hope you enjoyed the opinions
you
just...
Yeah, I hope you still feel that way.
My question is, will Guild Wars 2 have a live status type thing like Ion? I really enjoy checking out armors and equips that other people use. I think the 3D character models are something I can share with friends who don't play often or at all. If Guild Wars 2 had something like that, it would be really cool. Any information on this? Thanks, and keep up the great work. I'm looking forward to the next episode. Sincerely, me.
Well, thank you, me.
Well, I think Ion has a great system. There are a couple other games that have really, you know, World of Warcraft, of course, has something really great, too, in their kind of offline, or I guess away from game, character viewing system. And that's something that I think a lot of games are kind of gravitating towards. Ion does have a wonderful, you know, a whole thing about that where you can view your character, you can view all the items and everything, and it works out really well. You would think, now nothing has been announced, but you would think that they would take that same technology, since it's an NCSoft game, and just kind of use it, you know, borrow it like that. And, you know, we've seen the wings kind of going to Guild Wars from Ion. So
they're so pretty.
Yeah. So who knows if that's possible? I'm sure it's possible. Who knows if it's actually going to be implemented? There hasn't really been any word about that, but we do have that whole Hall of Monuments thing, which, you know, lets you see the achievements. It also lets you see more about your characters. And I'm sure, I would almost bet, of course, again, I have to say it hasn't been officially said, but I would almost bet that they would implement something like this.
Well, and since you can look at anybody's Hall of Monuments score now, it seems like a natural progression.
Yeah, I think it would work out really well. I think it would probably be a really popular feature.
Definitely. Oh, definitely.
Okay, well, this next email is also from me, and same me.
Stop doing that.
I know. he starts it out and says, "Hey, Ruben Seanwich Manser."
I don't think you can. Okay. I don't know what to do with that.
It says me again. See, that's the whole reason you used me in the first one. I think so. You can say me again. Can every class wear every weapon like in Guild Wars 1? It says they can wield certain weapons on the professions page, but it doesn't say anything about not wearing other ones. A warrior can dual wield swords, but can't even use a dagger in their main hand? This seems kind of odd. Maybe if they wielded a staff, they could whack things with it, since they don't have an innate magical ability or anything. The ranger, too. It can wield a dagger in his offhand, but not in its main. An elementalist with a bow wouldn't be able to draw back far enough to allow the arrow to travel a great distance, but they might be able to infuse it with magic. A necromancer dual-wielding pistols would make my day. I think the next class reveal will be an assassin-type character. I think this because in, and then he has a Profession Reveal 7 JPEG that's on the Guild Wars 2 wiki, little link there. It says, they appear to be moving in a spiral sequence ending with a large creature on the far left. And the silhouette of the picture above the necro appears to have a cloak similar to, and then he's got another link there to a GDC, it says dagger battle stance picture that's on the wiki, but with a ranger mask. Then will come the mesmer, the gun specialty adventurer, then the heavy armor monk. Thanks a bunch and keep up the great work, me. Those are, you know, I like those ideas because they're different than what most people are saying. You know, a gun specialty adventurer and then heavy armor monk. Kind of like, it makes me think of the warrior, I think they're, man, I can't remember their names now. I can't believe I forgot them, but in Warhammer, they have the healer class that's heavily armored.
Oh, really?
Boy, I can't believe I forgot the name. Oh, Warrior Priest? Yeah, Warrior Priest. Okay. Yeah, 10:30 at night.
Well, I kind of like the way he thinks, and I really like those thoughts on the weapons. I just wonder if you could carry them and not get your skill set slotted. Ooh, 10:30 at night. And it would almost be like wanding is now.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, okay, so about his the question about every now. It's now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you can't. Every class can't wield every weapon, right? Because they're set up to only have certain skills, item-based skills for each class, right?
As I understand it, that is correct.
Okay. Because it seems like the skills themselves open up, or I'm sorry, the item themselves open up the skills, but
right.
It's also based on the class. So, you know, a ranger wielding a sword would be different than a warrior wielding a sword, because it just as far as even the same sword, but it would just open up different skills.
Right.
Now, there are different scenarios, like the whole thing about the bar brawl, where you take a table leg. And then it opens up the skill set for a table leg. Now, that there, since it's different, like those are supposed to be kind of an instance thing, I don't know. It's almost like the snowball fights, you know, things
yeah.
like that. So I don't know if that would mean that anyone can wield a table leg and it would, you know, or anyone can wield this or that. You know what I mean?
Maybe you just won't be as good at it.
Yeah.
It's someone else.
So I don't know. They have said about the classes, the certain weapons being specific for certain classes and operating differently. But as far, I mean, they've listed on the when the classes have been revealed so far. They've listed specifically what weapons they can use. You know, so I would imagine that it means that that's all they can use.
That's kind of my assumption.
Yeah. So we'll find out more about this later, though. And I'm sure, you know, every time when we start talking about things, especially, 10:30 at night, we're always kind of misspeak on some things. So definitely correct us if we're wrong in the comments.
Yes, please.
Okay, so this next email, let's see, this is from Dugan. It says, "Hello, Ruby and Sean. I'm listening to podcast 19, which is about ArenaNet and their cash shop." Uh-oh, he said cash shop.
Okay.
"I have to agree with you both that they need to make money. I have played a lot of free-to-play games, but I mostly stick with pay-to-play because they tend to not have cash shops or cash shop-type items. Free-to-play MMOs really irritate me because they tend to limit things that should be bought with in-game money and not real-life money. Examples would be inventory slots and warehouse slots. Even though Guild Wars did not really limit on inventory, they did on warehouse, which is on sale, 2-for-1 in their game store. I have no problem buying an MMO that is like Guild Wars, buy to play, B2P, he has in parentheses, and then buying the expansions when they come out. I also don't mind optional buys as long as I feel that they are worth it. I feel really sorry for the WoWtards," his words, not my words, "who pay to play their CD key and pay a monthly fee. Even with MMOs that do not have optional expansions, but they buy to play MMOs would still be cheaper. Even with the expansions and optional buys. If ArenaNet wants to make more money, they should make the items sellable within the game world. I'm sure that there would be people who would make their in-game moneymaker, and then it would give people the chance to buy the items without having to pay more than what they spent on their CD keys. On another note, I remember you all talking about how the Guild Wars 2 warehouse was going to be account-based or character-based. I'm really hoping they do something like Ion did." Hey, another shout-out to Ion.
Hey, Ion.
"They made it to where each toon has their own warehouse, but there were two rows for an account warehouse. The currency was also account-wide. The account storage on Ion was more than big enough to trade over gear, to trade mats from toon to toon, or even just hold crap for a while. The only bad thing was having to wait to log out and pick another character. Sorry for the long email, Dugan." Again, this is another thing about Ion. You know, a lot of people rip on Ion, but I think they did a lot of things right, and I think this was actually one of them. Well, what he's saying here is, just picture your normal Guild Wars storage, right? You know, with all the slots and everything. Mm-hmm. At the bottom, they'll have one row that's just account, and it's used for trading stuff between people, things like that. But each character gets their own storage in the storage
chest.
Yeah. I mean, it opens up more storage, and it still allows you to trade between characters.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. I like that a lot.
Fallen Earth does something similar. They have certain vaults that are kind of more accessible. And then there are like clan vaults where you can trade stuff between characters, but they have to be in the same clan. And you can't really do anything on the account. I mean, everybody does it their own way, I guess, which I think makes it interesting. And
yeah.
I think all of them have pros and cons. But I've always loved the way that Guild Wars does it, where you share, you know, this giant storage account between all of your characters, because not only for the transfer, but also, I mean, it's less storage overall, but that's what mule characters are for, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what mule accounts are for. So, I don't know. I mean, they've said that everything is going to be account-based, so I don't think that they're going to go to this ion system, but who knows?
It would be kind of nice to see. I wonder... and see, I'm kind of hesitating here, because I have this whole school of thought. I guess it's not a school of thought if it's just me, but I have this whole series of thoughts on value for your money in in-game stores and free-to-play versus buy-to-play versus sub-fees versus the sub-model. Mm-hmm. I would pay for extra account-wide storage, like you said. Mm-hmm. I would be kind of happy to see that. Personally, I know that wouldn't work for anybody, for everybody. But, and you know, like he said about the WoW players, I can't call them WoW tarts. It's impossible to decide for anyone else what the value, what's a good value for your money. I can't tell you that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't look at you and say, you know what, you need to buy these costumes because I think that's how you should spend your $10. So, I don't know. I would absolutely, if that ion system, if extra storage in that format showed up in the game store, I'd pay it in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll see it that way.
Yeah.
And that was actually a little side rant on... I was talking about that with someone earlier today, and so that's on my mind anyway. I don't know. I can't decide for anybody but me if a sub model or free-to-play with microtransactions is a good value for your money.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a deep argument, but it's, you're right, you know, it's everyone has a different value on their time and their money, and I think the only real solution to any of that is just to offer more options, which, you know, don't tie us into, you know, one thing, don't back us into one corner, give us a bunch of options for things, you know, earn stuff in the game through... whatever you call it, soft currency, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, where you have to do more in the game to get the money, or just buy your way through. I mean, either way, I think works out, but as long as it's not, you know, game-changing, I guess.
Completely unbalanced.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, it's really hard. A lot of companies are still figuring that stuff out, so.
Yeah, I think it's progressing, though. I think, you know, it gets a little bit better every month.
Yep. Okay, so this next email, greetings to Urban Wish. You remember
Yay.
What that's from?
Yes, I like that.
old-time player, new to Guildcast. As far as the guide, it says, I, like many people, am also a completionist. So I was wondering if it was possible for a link to be put on the show notes for Ruby's guide. I seem to be having trouble finding it. Maybe you could give a few pointers, green arrows, he has parentheses, to start in the right direction. don't even get me started on the horrible... the horrible archiving and layout of Massively's website. It's one of those things I have no control over. But it is very hard to find things once they kind of leave that front page, unless we specifically make, you know, a link to it somewhere on the site, on the front page, but that's really rare. I mean, we will definitely put a link to that in the show notes for this, because I think it is pretty valuable for people to see, and it's kind of thrown in with every other MMO news piece and column and everything on Massively, so it kind of, you know, it served its time on the front page, and it's moved to, like, page 900 or whatever it's at
now. It's been pastured.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll definitely put a link to that.
I might make a little show notes here on a piece of paper.
Okay. and then this next one, it says, optional infamicity. Wow. Infamicity. I really
is that
don't.
An anagram?
I'm not sure. I really don't see the big deal. The reason they made them as an option, it couldn't be more simple.
Oh.
So, wait, what? I think. Oh, they're talking about the infamous.
I get it now.
Yeah, the infamous tranny stones.
You're not supposed to be calling them that.
Yeah, I know. transmutation stones. The optional transmutation stones. Saying basically, what he's saying is he doesn't see the big deal. They're an option, and it couldn't be more simple. I agree. I mean, it's like I said, give us more options, and that's really it. You know, I'll spare you from the analogies, I guess.
Aww. Fine.
And then he says, thanks for the great podcast. It was cool seeing the Ruby Jin character in game.
And that's awesome.
From Gnar.
Cool.
So, awesome. Another Ruby Jin fan.
I am so tickled by the pun in that name. I'll be carrying her over to Guild Wars too.
Awesome. Okay, so this next one says, hey, Guild Casteroos. Hey, I like that one.
I do too.
I'm Akila Moleka from the Massively Guild. I enjoyed the discussion about race species. Here's how I see it. Race is sociological. Species is biological. Species are defined by who can reproduce with whom. If you separate a single species of lizard on two islands, the point at which their evolution diverges enough so that they can't breed is when they become different species. That's speciation. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Asura and Norn can't make babies, but I'm sure there's a market for their attempts.
Ew!
That is the funniest sentence ever.
Yeah. I don't know that anybody's ever said that before.
So they are different species, obviously. Race originally came from Middle French for generation, and then he has a link to the etymology of that, and would describe any group within a species, such as a breed of horse or a community of people. Today, people is the key word, as we apply it to sentient beings, such as humans on Earth and other groups of sentient beings in sci-fi and fantasy. What was the original question? Is race the right word? Yes, because calling a group a race means they have a heritage, something beyond DNA that unites them as a people and differentiates them from others, which is what Guild Wars is all about. Wow. So I guess we can say we were right, but we didn't know how right we were.
That's right. I'm on board.
Okay, so the email goes on. It says, now that we've solved the race question, let's bring up class. I'm with you on the Mesmer, hoping with every tweet, blog post, and sneeze from ArenaNet that it will be the glorious reveal. Seems likely that it will be the as-is returner, but part of me dreams of a gunslinger filling the roles of debilitator, punisher, and good dresser. The nice. Other part doesn't want them to change a thing about the Mesmer. I'm certain there's something about guns we haven't seen yet, how they will affect play and define classes, beyond just being another ranged weapon. It may be the hypothetical engineer who specializes in guns, or the gunslinging Mesmer may be the name change profession, or the newbie. Bang, bang. Finally, those mysterious 3 points. I'm assuming the accounts that are being linked are your Guild Wars 1 and your Guild Wars 2 accounts. Thus, if you buy Guild Wars 1 and don't even play it, you still get half a set of armor in Guild Wars 2 for your minimal support of Guild Wars 2. It's just good marketing. That's true. I didn't even think about it like that, but that's absolutely true. Even more finally, has there been any word on how name reservation will work in Guild Wars 2? I thought of the best name for a future Savari race, a future Savari Necro, and made a Guild Wars 1 character in hopes of reserving it. Thanks, you two. That was a great email.
I actually like that.
I love the kind of side dry wit. That's really kind of awesome. And he schooled us on this race thing, the race species thing.
Kind of jazzed about that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So that's and I'm sure ArenaNet knew that, right? I mean, they did
they
their
totally
homework.
Did.
Yeah. So now the name convention thing, that's one of those things that originally they said it was going to carry over, right? Like they were saying you'd be able to carry everything over, but then they changed so much about the Hall of Monuments, and of course now we get that reveal where they talk about achievements. So now we're still kind of left scratching our head over that part of it. You know, the stuff that wasn't
still not sure.
Addressed. Yeah. So it hasn't been addressed, hasn't been answered.
Nope.
I don't know how, if it's going to be account-wide, I don't see them allowing you to take every character name, you know, over and be able to do that. Now, I've seen games before where they let you make a character in beta, which is a lot different, you know, than the sequel, first in the sequel. But you know, you take character names in beta, and then they let you have that first choice once the game releases. Even if after they wipe the character, they still let you have that first choice at name. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a possibility or if it's something, you know, that will be done. I think I would love to see that, although I probably won't be naming anything Walmart special.
That will be a sad loss.
I know. Didn't we joke about that before? I think we joked about that either. Man, it must have been on an old Guildcast where we were talking about all the different specials we could do.
I think so.
And then the ribs, too. We could do all the different ribs.
And it, well, we would have to.
Yeah, we
could keep make a tiny little character named Short Ribs.
Yeah, exactly. And spare ribs. We could make baked ribs.
That's what minions are.
Oh, right, right. So, yeah, I don't know that it's been said for sure, but it's another one of those we hope for.
Yes, please. We want to know soon.
All right, so let's see. We have a few more here. This next one says, "Hello, Sean and Ruby. It is Undead Tanker from Guild Wars."
Oh, hey there.
Oh, is he in the guild?
Yes, he is. He's cool. Brand new.
Cool, cool. This was set 2 days ago, so this is also brand new. It says, "I just got done listening to episode 19 because I needed to catch up on the news. And when I heard you guys talking about the transmutation stones, I felt that Anet did choose the right thing to make players pay for it. Reason being is because it is not an item that is required, and when you buy it, it will not give you more power than the rest of the players in the game. If Anet puts items in the in-game store that you have to pay for to have more power, then I will be disappointed at them. Knowing that someone is disappointed at them hurts more than a person that is angry at them." Yeah, I mean, it's kind of our stance, too. You know, as long as it's not game-changing, doesn't give, you know, advantages like that, I think it's just another one of those options. I mean, we've killed this topic already, but it's good to hear kind of the other, you know, the other thoughts on it from
the
listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so this next one says, "Hi, I love Guildcast."
I like this guy.
Yeah, it actually was what put the icing on the cake of me getting the game, because I listened trying to understand to Guildcast first.
Yay.
I'm a high schooler and have only had the game for a month, so I'm looking for a lot of information to help with the game. Also looking for a guild and friends. I went back and listened to all of your podcasts on Massively and Guildcast. Holy
wow.
That's a lot. That's a lot of me and you talking about
nothing. We talk a lot, too.
Wow. I would be scared to listen back. Okay. I'm mainly saying I'm a humongous fan. A lot of my relatives play Guild Wars. Now, something I wish ArenaNet would have done was, instead of the ranger, would have been a hunter. A hunter could use a bow or a gun, have a pet, and still use traps. I now want to be a warrior in Guild Wars 2 and not a ranger, because warriors can use bows, guns, and array of melee weps. Also, since I am new in the game, I spend most of my time creating characters and then deleting them because I can't find a good match of professions. Any suggestions? I base my characters on my family members, their names backwards, their professions like their personality. My father is a monk and my mother is a necro." Whoa, hey.
Ah.
I'm not going to touch that one. Please, oh please, read my email on Guildcast. Thanks, oh. Echol Nagrum. Yeah, see, I just wanted to talk about, okay, so this thing with making characters and deleting them, that is the reason I'm not able to get my birthday presents when I first started playing the game, because I did that for months and months. I would make characters and delete them, and then I finally stuck with one as a warrior. So I know what you're talking about. I mean, I feel your pain. It's just kind of a normal process to get your feel for what you like. You can't change your main profession, of course, but you can change your secondary professions. So if you find yourself, liking one profession more, you can always grab that. You know, you can, if mm-hmm. you want to be a warrior, and a lot of it is what that kind of specialty attribute is, of course. You know, if you're an elementalist, you have energy storage, which is kind of their specialty. And then you can always do anything secondary. I mean, you can have an entire skill bar of your skills from your secondary profession. You know, you don't even have... You can make a monk, and you could have all warrior skills if you wanted to. You could run around with a sword, and you could fight things like that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. But it's possible. You can do it. I've seen it. Don't do it. But it's definitely possible. And that's one of the great things about the game. You know, you can play it however you want, with a lot based on your secondary character. Now, you're not going to be the strongest warrior because you're a monk running around with a sword. You know, you're not going to have that that extra strength.
Seriously, but, don't do that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But it's possible. So I think that, now, class choice does matter a lot, of course, but it's not to be all end all. You know, you can play your secondary, you can mess around with that if you wanted to. And then, of course, you can be like me and make alts and then get other accounts and have one or two of each class and then make a podcast about
only
it.
Only two, huh?
Yeah. So, yeah, you could do all that and then you'll be just like us. Ding.
Don't do that either.
Yeah, so I hope that helped. I'm helping by saying, I'm helping by being an enabler. How's that?
You're like the worst helper ever. It's awesome.
I am. I really am. I feel everyone's pain. It's just, I'm full of pain. No.
I felt the pain of you lacking Minecraft, so I help too.
Yeah, thanks for that. okay, so here we have our last email here. And this is, let's see, he's got some fancy script there, and then Ghost. I think this is Justin Ghost. Anyway, hey, Sean and Ruby, I'm a longtime listener of Guildcast. I'm sure you guys are getting sick of hearing this. No, we're not.
Nope.
We love it. You could say it all the time. You could start every email like that, and we would not get sick of it. And I thank you guys for what you have and are doing for the community. Now, with all of this talk of dynamic events, dungeons, mostly PvE stuff, etc., what's up with PvP? Now, everyone is probably saying, dude, ArenaNet told us they're not going to tell us about PvP until later. Does this not make you curious of what ArenaNet is doing with PvP as we speak? I mean, we do know a small amount of the PvP modes, such as Structured and World. Structured, we know, will be 5 versus 5 balanced teams, similar to GVG style of Guild Wars 1, not Guild Wars Classic. That makes me rage, he says.
Aw, he has a point.
Now,
sounds like Classic.
Yeah. Now a question for Structured PvP is, how do you think they will make it? Here's my prediction. This is what he says. Even though I just said that. They're going to make it more of an e-sport type deal, similar to games like Counter-Strike with rounds and such. ArenaNet has already admitted it has taken many inspirations of ideas in Guild Wars 2 from Left 4 Dead, action games, etc. My question to you guys is, how will they make the structured PvP competitive-wise? I have one more question for you guys. Wait, okay, let's answer the first one before we get to the second one. Yeah, I hope they don't make it like Counter-Strike. I think that there are games that do things like that. You know, of course, the PvP does have, it's kind of hub-based. You know, you sit there and you get your group together, and then you go out and you do your little arena battles. I mean, it's very arena, based, which works. And they've said that that's kind of like it is, you know, structured is kind of like it is now in Guild Wars 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they're really going to mess with that too much. You know, if they said that it's going to stay similar to how we have it now, I think that they know that people play the game because they love that. So they don't, you know, they want to leave that option in. But then world PvP is where they're going to really be able to jazz it up a lot, you know, and be able to kind of do their own thing with it, and do things that they weren't able to do with Guild Wars 1 PvP. I think this is something that it's a pretty safe bet to say that that's how it's going to be. What do you think?
I hate to be so one-sided here. I don't know. What is Counter-Strike?
Counter-Strike is a game of people yelling at each other on on voice chat.
I don't know. I feel like this is one of those times when I feel like I should just grit my teeth and go PvP so I won't be so completely ignorant. But honestly, that is the part of Guild Wars 2 development that I've paid the least amount of attention to.
Yeah, well, actually, that brings up a good point, though, because there are the people like you who want nothing at all to do with PvP. I mean, I'm kind of on that side. I've messed with PvP for a while, but I couldn't really get into it. And then there are the people on the other side of that who that's all they do. You know, they love the fact that you can enter the game without touching a quest. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make a level 20 character and you can PvP all day and all night, and you don't have to read any quest text. You know what I mean? So I think that was another one of those draws about Guild Wars to, you know, offer both of those options.
Well,
so,
and, oh, go ahead.
So I don't think that they would take that away. You know, the strength of PvP, the importance of PvP, and that whole other, you know, West Wing of PvP where, you know, you don't, if you're PvE only, you don't have to worry about it. If you're PvP only, you don't have to worry about PvE. You know what I mean? I think that works well. But then the world PvP comes in to kind of offer for the people in between, the gray area, you know, the people like me who wouldn't mind running in and fighting people a few times, but I also want to go do quests and, you know, have seven hero parties.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I do have to say, even as ignorant as I am of that side of the game, I think they're gonna do it justice. From what I understand at this point, I think they're gonna do it justice. I love the idea of being able to actually go to the mists. I mean, this is something that we've heard of and that we know about, and
yeah,
we're gonna get to go see that, which is so cool to me from a lore perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have faith in them to do that justice, from what I understand. I feel so completely stupid even trying to talk about it like I know what I'm talking about, so sorry.
That's why we love you, right?
Because I feel stupid. Don't do that either.
Okay, actually the second part of his email here talks about world PvP. It says, I have one more question for you guys, but with world PvP. World PvP is the mode we most know about at this point in time. As we know, World PvP will be three servers all fighting each other for conquest. The way ArenaNet explains this PvP mode, it has never really been in any MMO. This mode seems to be more of an MMO FPS type game, like PlanetSide or Huxley, etc. This mode seems to be for the PvE player that can casually play PvP. They literally say battles of hundreds of players fighting for the stronghold, smaller raiding groups, harassing points, or even playing on your own and doing some solo things. Imagine all this happening, now imagine how massive the map will have to be. Like I said, with talks of dynamic events, dungeons, and personal stories, I think that this mode of PvP is just as revolutionizing towards the genre than we think it is. What do you guys think? A lot of talk for ArenaNet not telling us much, eh? Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they do actually tell us a lot. I just wanted to say, you know, he says PlanetSide Huxley, Global Agenda is a lot like this. Global Agenda is kind of not really similar to Guild Wars at all. Although people have called it Guild Wars with guns or Guild Wars with lasers because it's hub based. You know, you get together with people and then you go out and you do missions together, instance missions. But it's space age, you know, lasers, jetpacks, things like that. But it does have these conquest maps where you have to take over resources. I guess kind of like Jade Quarry and stuff like that, you know, where the map actually moves.
Mm-hmm.
You take over certain areas and then you get control of that land, and that land has resources that you can use for your alliance or, you know, which help out a lot, you know, better prices in the market, things like that. So I guess, you know, Global Agenda kind of borrowed that. I'm sure they didn't directly, but you know that idea was done with the Jade Quarry and Fort Aspenwood, and so it almost sounds like in Guild Wars 2 they're kind of also borrowing what Global Agenda did to build from that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think, I don't know, this is maybe me fangirling out a little bit, but I think they're going to have the time to take that. Like, they have so many other aspects of gaming and build on that and improve it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to work.
Well, I'm really excited about this. I definitely want to try this at least. I'll probably love it, I imagine. But another game that does something similar to this is MAG, which is a PlayStation 3 only game. And it's kind of an MMO. It has like 134 people versus 134 people, I think, or maybe it's 134 people altogether. I'm not sure, but yeah, no, I think it is 134 versus 134. Anyway, so it's these giant battles, and they get together and they just shoot each other. And I imagine that this is kind of what this is going to be. You know, there are three servers. You do the conquest maps, and it's just a giant fight. You know, I think that would it sounds really cool to me. It sounds like it would be a lot of fun. Kind of realistic, I guess.
I'll probably wander in once. Just to see. Well, I mean, just to see. I want to know.
I'm just picturing you, like your character walking out there and going, ah, and then running back.
Yes. Actually, you know what? I think we talked about this when we found out. How did we find that out? There was going to be like a warning that you were running into a PvP zone quite a while back.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that then. I'd get that warning and anybody watching would just see my character screech to a halt, about face, and take off screaming in the other direction.
Yeah, it's...
Please don't hurt me!
Again, I know I've made this comparison before, but Warhammer Online, which I talk about a lot, actually, for not even playing the game anymore, it has RVR areas, which is Realm versus Realm, but... And when... You know, there are areas of the map that this happens in, so... While it's not a server set up for it, you know, you run around out in the wilderness and you'll hit an area and it'll say, warning, you're about to enter RVR, and you'll turn around and go back, or I will. So
very quickly.
Yeah,
yes.
So I don't know, you know, if it'll be something like that, but it sounds like they're going to have a lot of options. Again, you know, the main point here that we've been making all day is the options that they're, you know, whether it's the business model or the PvP versus PvE or, you know, different things like that. It sounds like they know that people need options. So
yeah,
that's good.
You're not gonna be stuck in one little thing.
Yeah, which I think you know. Getting into, I don't know, a little bit broader spectrum here. There was an interview I read today from Kurt Schilling, who is, for anyone who doesn't know, he's a baseball player, ex-baseball player for Red Sox, and he started 38 Studios, which is making a Copernicus MMO. Now, he said in an interview recently that. You can't make a game for everyone because if you make a game for everyone, you're making a game for no one. And I think that was a great quote because it's so true. You know, you can't offer everything for everyone because every single person has a different view of what they think is the ultimate fun. So when you sit there and you try to change it for everyone, it's just some of those things are going to contradict each other and counteract each other. And it's going to ruin the game. We've seen this happen to you know other games in the past. So I think it's important to have a vision still. You know, while you're offering options, you're offering all these options about you know allowing as many people in as possible. You still have to have this straight vision of what you know where the boundaries are. You know, you have to have boundaries, and you still have to be able to say, no, I know you would love to see flying unicorns in this game. With lasers shooting out of the horn, but you know,
it's not where I thought you were going to say.
But we can't do that. You know, you got to. We have to stay on some kind of path. So, I guess what I'm saying is, although I'm a huge fan of options, I'm still also a huge fan of staying on course. And I think that quote by Kurt Schilling was brilliant. And I just hope that ArenaNet kind of goes along that path. You know, sticks to. Their initial vision, while still, you know, accepting fan feedback and kind of, you know, thinking, well, yeah, that would work here, that would work here, to balance things out and offer more features. But I just hope that they stay true to the initial vision.
I think they will. There's a balance to strike there, and I feel like it's a very, very thin line, but I think if anybody can do it, it's going to be them.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to sound like a fangirl or anything, right?
Shut up. Now it's 10 after 11.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just all going to pieces.
Yeah. We don't even know. I mean, I don't even know who you are. I'm just...
You just found someone on Skype, random person. And, no, but honestly, I mean, that's something that they've showed us is that they know their stuff and they know their audience and they're willing to listen. Mm-hmm. And that... I mean, it may be fangirling, but I think in this case, it's justified fangirling.
Yeah. It reminds me of that Manifest video they made. You know, they were kind of showing the face of ArenaNet and saying, look, you know, we're just gamers. You know, we just want to make something that we want to play, you know, and we hope you like it. So, yeah, pretty cool.
And that gives them big points for me.
Yep. All right. Well, that was our last email, and that was kind of it for this show. Kind of a, I guess, a long show, but
it's okay.
Last one was short, so we're due, right?
Yeah, we owe you guys.
Yep. So I guess that's about it. But if you want to email us, you can email either Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com or R-U-B-I at guildcast.com. We have Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is /guildcast, and our Facebook page you can find by just doing a search for Guildcast. That's not really active, not that active. I'd like to get it a little more active. But
I'll go in there and talk to people.
Okay, cool. But our Twitter is usually we announce the next show, you know, or right after we record and when it goes up and all that. So there's that. There's the main site at guildcast.com or guildcast.wordpress.com, where we have the show notes for each of these shows, and they have, you know, the links that we talk about throughout the show. And usually we get them right. We get the right links on there, right?
Most of the time.
So I guess that's about it. So until next time when they announce the Mesmer, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
We'll talk to you later.